We have got some really heavy rain in downtown New Orleans and through many parts of the city. I'm looking at radar right now, and there's a lot of red on the radar map. It's the great red menace on the map. We're going to check in with the meteorologist at Channel 4 live in just a few minutes, so we'll give you the latest on this. What's interesting about this rain today is that I don't think this is part of a weather system, per se. I don't think it's part of a front. It's just that the atmospheric conditions are ripe for these kind of storms to develop. So, again, you're going to be possibly in some really, really heavy rain. Drive carefully. You know, if you tend to tailgate, if you tend to draft and get right behind the car in front of you like they do at NASCAR, don't do that today. I mean, don't do that any day, but especially don't do that today. Give yourself extra time. You know, when I'm driving, especially in weather like this, I always assume that the car in front of me might suddenly stop. And just keep that in mind. And if you keep that in mind, if you're prepared for that car in front of you to suddenly stop, then you're going to be back a little further. And you really need to do that in this kind of weather. Turn your lights on. Don't turn your hazard lights on. Hazard lights are not only illegal, but it indicates that there might be a stopped vehicle up ahead. It's especially dangerous in fog, but it's also dangerous in the rain. And you're not supposed to do that. Don't act like you're the only one who's out there. We're all out there in this weather. And when I see hazard lights on, I'm prepared to slam on my brakes because it could be a car that stopped. If I see that and slam on my brakes, somebody hits me, somebody might hit them, and it could be a chain reaction of accidents. So if you're so freaked out that you have to turn your hazard lights on, just get off the interstate or pull over, pull into a gas station or some parking area and wait until the storm passes, because these storms don't last forever. But, you know, right now we're in the thick of it. And I'm looking at my notes from last hour. For St. Bernard, Plaquemines, and Orleans Parish, there's a flash flood warning in effect until 4:13. And for Jefferson and St. Charles Parish, there's a flash flood warning in effect until 4:54. So keep all of that in mind. A lot of rain today and tomorrow and maybe over the weekend as well. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon heading to the weekend. It's Thursday of the Republican National Convention. And tonight, Donald Trump is going to deliver his acceptance speech at the convention in Milwaukee. Following his assassination attempt, what are we going to hear from Trump? Is this going to have changed him? Is he going to be more empathetic to Americans? Is he going to maybe not be as bullish as he has been? I would think that it would be in his best interest to be empathetic. I think it would be in his best interest to be comforting, to have a comforting message of unity. And as I have said, the Republicans seem to be addressing this concept of unity, and it's going to work in their favor, because I think a lot of Americans want that sense of unity. They want to vote for somebody who's going to bring this country together. Not that the politicians can really bring us together. We have to be a big part of that. We, the people, need to be a big part of us coming together. But the Republicans are in a great position right now to show unity, and that's what they've been showing in this convention so far. The Democrats will have their convention next month. They'll have an opportunity to do whatever they can do to position their party. But right now, there's great divide among the Democrats. There was great divide among the Republicans. Some wanted Trump to be the leader of the party. Others did not. Trump is the leader of the party. He is the head of the party. He will be the nominee. And now there's a great divide within the Democrat Party. And we're going to talk about that. Also, there are some legit reports that Joe Biden could drop out of the race as early as this weekend. So we'll be talking about all of that coming up. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon about anything we talk about, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Also, a lot of activity still on my Facebook page, which is Scoot on the Air Facebook. Check it out. Become part of that. And also comment on what we post. And I would encourage you to also comment on some of the comments, because that's when it gets to be fun. And we'll check in with some of those comments a little bit later. Let's get to a couple of your phone calls. Let's go to Luling and Bernard. Bernard, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Thank you for having me call in.
Sure.
Wanted to talk. We've been talking a lot about Trump's growing popularity, especially since the assassination attempt. And I know even I called last week complaining, you know, where are the Green Party candidates? You know, Trump and Biden can't be the only two. But, I mean, I like to believe I'm still on the younger side. I mean, I'm pushing 30, but I like to still count myself in with the younger guys. And TikTok especially, I mean, Trump is just blowing up with these younger generations, Gen Z, millennials.
And what is the general message that you sense there from the younger voters?
Oh, they are loving him. I mean, he's got all this power, and I mean, it's this new slang that even I'm kind of having a hard time keeping up with. His aura is what they're calling it. He gives off that good vibe, that entertaining vibe. I mean, say what you want about his successfulness as a businessman in the past, but he's definitely using that PR knowledge to his advantage.
He's definitely entertaining.
Yes, I mean, and he just created his own TikTok page at Real Donald Trump just this past month, and I mean, he is just blowing up everywhere. And I'll admit that, you know, 2016, I was in favor of Trump as he came around for re-election. He just wasn't my option anymore. I did not vote for him twice, but I'm not sold on him again this round, but boy, he's trying. I mean, some of these videos really do get at me.
Well, it's going to be interesting, Bernard, to see tonight if Donald Trump goes with this wave or if he goes just back to being who he is in terms of being very bombastic. You know, it's up to him. I think it's in his best interest and the best interest of the Republican Party for him to be comforting, to be reassuring, and to have a message of unity. But we'll see what happens. Bernard, I appreciate the call. Glad you're with us. Let's go to Nick in New Orleans East. Hey, Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. I just wanted to, you know, mention about the hazards. That it's crazy that everybody wants to put their hazards on. And
yeah,
that's only a New Orleans thing. I'm telling you, I drive a lot. I have, you know, about 25,000 miles a year. I'm on the road for work, and I do the whole state. So you can't say it's a Louisiana thing. It's a New Orleans thing. And I don't know whose bright idea it was to, let's turn our hazards on. That means they go on, off, on, off, on, off. Why would you want your lights off half the time when it's raining?
Yeah.
So to your point, man, the hazards are for one thing. It's for an emergency.
Right.
Not an emergency if you're out driving. So
yeah, and
that's kind of my pet peeve with driving, and I really don't know where this came from. Let me put my hazards on when it rains. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Nick, I think people feel like look at me. I'm in this. I think people are just afraid, and I don't think you should be afraid. First of all, it's illegal to do it, and I think it's like, oh, look at me. Look at me. I'm, you know, don't get near me. I've got my flashing lights on. And, you know, if the flow of traffic because of the rain, if the flow of traffic on the interstate is 30 miles an hour and you're going with the flow of traffic, you're not supposed to have your hazard lights on. If it's a clear day and there's something wrong with your car and you're trying to get to the next exit and you're going 30 miles an hour on the interstate, yes, you put your hazard lights on in that case because you're not going with the flow of traffic. You're going a lot slower.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
You're a hazard.
So that means go around me, right? When you have your hazards. And so, yeah, I really don't get it. But it's definitely a pet peeve. Because I can't, in any kind of way that I think about it, I cannot get it to make sense in my mind.
Well,
And
you can say that about a lot of things with the New Orleans drivers.
Well, you're right about that. But, you know, I really do think, and I know you're always trying to get the word out to help everybody around here, and you really do a good job about that. And, you know, man, we're going to get these thunderstorms all the time, like we do every year, in the afternoon, summertime, and, you know, just kind of like you did, you know, right before I called, maybe you can do that when it starts to rain. I don't know. It was ironic because I was going through New Orleans East, and that's where it seems to happen like the most. As I was coming from Slidell to back to Metairie,
yeah.
and Yeah, and so your buddy who called a few more, the caller a little while ago who called from New Orleans East, maybe he can tell all of his friends not to put their
hazards on. Stop it. Don't turn your hazards on unless you're a real problem to the traffic. Nick, I'm glad you called the show. Stay safe out there. Let's go to Mid-City. Hey, Michael, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Look, I've been listening to you since I was a kid on B97, and I think what you do is one of the rarest skills in media, because you're one of the few people that can listen to every side of any argument, and including what's happening now with this election, and it's very, very valuable.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Michael.
As far as my opinion on Trump goes, you know, his history goes back long, long, long before he was in politics, and he showed his hand with the Central Park situation where the lady was raped and the black kids were falsely accused, and Trump was behind it all the way, and he supported that, and those guys were eventually exonerated. And to me, that shows you what he was capable of and how he really feels. And since he came down that escalator making those comments about illegals crossing the border and the way he felt about all that, a lot of those guys are fleeing very, very traumatic situations in their country. And this country is built on immigrants, whether we want to admit it or not. It's just a fact. All of us came from that, descendants of that, and that's what makes this country great. I mean, what makes this country great is immigrants, and hopefully, you know, that they find their American dream and live that way. And as far as Trump having this Saul to Paul conversion because he got shot at, you got to be crazy if you don't believe that. He showed his true colors many times, and he doubled down with J.D. Vance for his pick for vice president is about as extreme right-wing radical as you can get. So I don't believe anything is going to come out of this convention of any kind of spirit of unity. It's not what he did.
Well, I hope you're wrong and I'm right. I won't be surprised if Donald Trump is his typical bombastic self, but I think that this is an opportunity for him to be congenial. And my God, I don't care who you are. You would have to be one cold-hearted person to not be affected by an assassination attempt. Or if somebody's been the victim of a shooting, if you're not affected by that to the point where you step back and go, man, I'm lucky to be alive. Psychologically, that should change people. And if it doesn't, then I think that's a real statement about who a person is. So we'll see who Donald Trump is. I would expect him, and I'm going to watch with an open heart and open mind tonight. And I think that he's got a great opportunity to promote unity, but let's see if he does. I wouldn't bet on it, but I'm certainly hoping that that's what he does. And we'll be here to talk about it tomorrow afternoon on Free For All Friday. Before we get to break, I want to share with you just a little bit of Clancy Dubose's commentary on WWL TV the other day. And he said, politicians love to use fear and anger to get our attention. His commentary went on, that's why inflammatory rhetoric dominates America's political discourse. It's turned us into a nation at war with itself, and it inevitably leads to violence. And then he closes by saying, there's no need for anyone to lose friendships over politics. Real friends don't let that happen. Regardless of what politicians say about each other, if we can stop yelling and start respecting each other again, eventually the politicians will follow. And I love that because that really echoes what I've talked about for a long time on this show. And that is the responsibility of the voters, we the people. The politicians are divided because we are cheering them on to be divided. One side's going, don't you dare compromise with those Democrats. The other side is, don't you dare compromise with those Republicans. Don't let them get their way. We're shouting that. Just like Clancy Dubose is pointing out, we shout that. Sometimes, literally, but just virtually we shout that from America, and the politicians hear that and they represent us. So it's not going to be until we, the people, start to act a little differently and demand that of the politicians that the politicians are going to change. If you want to join us, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Also, in a few minutes, we'll get an update from a meteorologist at Channel 4 about some of this violent weather moving through the area. And we'll keep you in touch with that. And we're coming back on WWL. I have watched these thunderstorms on radar just develop. I mean, they just have developed almost out of nowhere, and it looks like we're going to have a very rainy afternoon. Some of the rain very, very heavy, so just be safe out there. And it looks like we're going to have rain for the next couple of days. We'll get an update on this weather coming up here in just a few minutes. I'm Scoot on WWL. All right, okay, we're ready with that update now. Let's go to the National Weather Service, and meteorologist Hannah Lisney joins us on WWL. Hannah, welcome to our show.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hey, tell us about these storms. It looks like they're just developing almost out of nowhere.
Yeah. So we've got a little boundary over the area, and it is unfortunately just causing scattered thunderstorms pretty much over our whole area. And one of those popped up right over the city. So.
All right, what is going on with the weather that for the next couple of days it's going to be different from a typical southern pattern, summertime pattern, and these storms could be violent. It looks like a very good chance of rain today, tomorrow, and over the weekend. What is it about the atmosphere that's causing this to happen?
Yeah, so like you said, you know, it's not unusual for us to get thunderstorms in the summertime, but we've just got a frontal boundary that's peeking down into our area, and it's going to kind of just sit there the next couple days, which is really increasing the rain chances and, you know, making them more efficient with rainfall. And we actually do even have a couple severe thunderstorm warnings on the North Shore as well. So
okay, I wasn't sure that this was associated with a front. So there's a frontal boundary that has stalled over us?
Yep, it's just kind of sitting there, and it's gone up for a couple days here.
And so this could happen into the weekend, obviously.
Yep, absolutely. We've got very high rain chances through the weekend.
So what will cause it to come to an end?
Well, eventually it's just going to kind of back up out of here. So heading into early next week, hopefully it'll kind of back up out of our area to the north, and we'll see a downtick.
So for the next couple of days and maybe through the weekend, we have a greater chance of rain than the typical afternoon thunderstorms because of this frontal boundary.
Absolutely. We're showing about 90% chance through the weekend.
All right. As a meteorologist, I'm sure different weather systems fascinate you. What's interesting about this weather system for you as a meteorologist?
I don't think there's anything that's out of the ordinary about it. Just, you know, very, very efficient rainfall as we've seen here, especially in the New Orleans area and even across the North Shore. So just very, very heavy rainfall that's causing some low-lying and urban areas to flood. So definitely want to avoid those areas.
And then if we have concentration of rain today and tomorrow, then the ground is soaked. And that if we get rain beyond that point, that is what can cause some flooding.
Yep, absolutely. We're gonna after today be very, very saturated across pretty much the entire area. So then when it rains tomorrow and the next day, it's really just gonna add on to the problem.
All right, Hannah Lisney, meteorologist with the National Weather Service. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Okay, that's the latest on this frontal boundary that is stalled over us. I wasn't sure it was associated with a front, but there's a frontal boundary that has stalled over us, and that's what's causing this weather, and it's going to be with us for the next couple of days. We're going to get to some of your texts with Ian here in just a moment. Let's go to Hammond. And Chris, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. Good afternoon. 2 points I wanted to cover. One, the people running their emergency flashers in the rain, and this isn't true of all vehicles. It depends on how the taillights are wired. Mm-hmm. But when your emergency flashers are on, your brake lights don't work.
Really?
And it's highly likely, really. And there, some vehicles do have separate bulbs for the turn signals and separate for the brake lights. But if they're both on the same circuit, your brake lights are not going to work.
Well, that's not good.
No, it's not good at all. Not in the rain, not in that situation. And with the lights flashing, the only way the guy can tell you're stopping is the closure between the vehicles. And those flashing lights can throw your timing off.
Wow.
You know, it's easier to judge the distance, especially in a blinding rain. But those who are running flashers, check and see if your brake lights work. You may be setting yourself for a rear-end accident.
Yeah, I've always been concerned about that with the hazard lights on in rain.
Yeah, it's the brake lights do not work on a lot of vehicles if the emergency flashers are on. They're designed for a breakdown or to an avoidance if you have a problem with your vehicle. That's all they're supposed to be used for.
No, Hank, thanks for that information.
My second point is this, and this is to all my fellow Americans, no matter who you vote for, be careful in selecting your vice president. Neither one of these guys, I don't believe either one of them can finish 4 years. And whoever is vice president is going to succeed, and be very careful. The vice presidents are critical this time.
I think that's
absolutely
a really good
critical.
Point, Chris. I think that's a good point. I have always paid attention to vice presidents because, you know, you just don't know what can happen. And quite often, vice presidents are selected for one reason, and that is to bring some kind of geological advantage or some kind of demographic advantage to the ticket, when in reality, a vice presidential candidate should be selected for one reason, and that is that this is a person who could be president of the United States.
And to be honest with you, I don't know what Biden has planned, but either one of them, we're talking about, he'd say it, two old geezer. I don't like the choices I have. Yeah. I don't think this is the best America has to offer for our leaders.
It's not. It's not, but, you know, it's what we're stuck with because of the system, and in part, I think we the people are partially to blame for this. Because quite often we vote for the candidate that we think is going to win because we want to be with the winner. We want to vicariously feed our ego by knowing that we voted for the winner. But I believe that if a lot of candidates through the primary series voted for who they really wanted to be president, who they really thought could be the best person to do the job, I think we would have different candidates in the position of being president. Let's go to Ian with a couple of your text messages.
Soothsayer Sam is listening today and says, if Trump has had an epiphany due to his quote-unquote ear piercing and will set... Nothing about the assassination attempt is funny.
No,
let's just be clear about that.
Right, but
the
calling it an ear piercing
and the little pillow. I don't know. You know, even I think Trump fans are getting a smile out of that.
Right. His ear piercing was a little different than when you go to Claire's.
Indeed. Okay. Sam says, if Trump has had an epiphany due to his ear piercing and will settle down and deliver a presidential speech tonight, Joe Biden will probably withdraw this weekend.
Okay, we had a text or something came up a few minutes ago. What if Joe Biden announced in the next couple of hours that he was dropping out? Would Donald Trump have to totally rewrite his speech at the last minute?
Chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos. You think they're all having fun now in that little arena in Milwaukee? They would go hog ass wild if they had to rejigger everything from here on out. And Donald Trump, he's, you know, 45 minutes away from going out to the podium and talking about Biden, Biden, Biden. And then suddenly it's like Biden's not going to be the nominee. Then you have to rewrite that speech. And, you know, maybe he could still deliver a rousing speech and everybody has a good time. But that would be a big flex.
Yeah, indeed it would be.
Here's a text that says Joe will drop out over the weekend. The Democrats will let the RNC beat up on Joe so that his replacement does not have 4 nights of primetime bashing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the RNC is beating up on Joe Biden, but I don't hear a collective call from the right for him to get out of the race. And I certainly don't hear it from Donald Trump or the Trump campaign because they want Joe Biden to be the candidate that they go up against, because not only have they planned for that, but also Joe Biden is weak. And a lot of people are voting for Trump because Joe Biden is the option.
Here's a text that says, can you elaborate on your thoughts about Trump's lack of empathy towards Americans and his bullying that you just referenced? What Americans are you referring to? And also, who does he bully?
Donald Trump has a, I'm using the word this afternoon, bombastic style. Donald Trump, in his criticism of a handicapped reporter, in his sharp, the way he has personalized criticizing illegal immigrants, the way he has talked about his opposition, I think this is a form of verbal bullying. Now, this is subjective. It's up to somebody's interpretation. Some people don't see this as bullying, but I do believe that that Donald Trump has that very forceful style of attacking people, and I mean he has turned making up names for people into a sport. I mean, he's kind of bullied and put down and used names to describe every opponent he's ever had.
Lil
and
so Marco, this is a, Lion Ted, yeah, this Sleepy is a, Joe, Crooked
this is
Hillary.
A pattern. You know, it's a pattern. But a lot of people relate to that. That is a lot of his popularity is based on his power. And I don't mean power in office, but his power toward, you know, we're going to get him and this is what we're going to do. And I think Donald Trump has had a tendency to, again, be very bombastic toward just Democrats and liberals in general.
And the media.
Oh, I mean, the media.
He's huge on aggressive and more often than not insulting language. And if he's directing that at people that you also would like to use aggressive and insulting language at, it doesn't really come off as bullying.
Right.
It comes off as truth telling.
Well, that's why I said
most
it's
people
subjective.
Don't see it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people go, yeah. But to some people, that is a form of bullying. I will be surprised. I will be surprised if Donald Trump does not show that side tonight and shows it a different side. And I would like to think that as a human being, the idea that you came within inches of being dead would somehow, you know, kind of change your attitude about life. I mean, I've heard from a lot of people who have been near death. We've all heard from a lot of people who have talked about being near death. And it's something that changes you. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's see. When we come back, I want to talk about the idea that Joe Biden may drop out by this weekend, because this seems to be a growing possibility. We'll talk about that when we come back. I'm Scoot. It's a rainy, rainy afternoon. Be careful out there if you're in the rain. And we'll be right back on WWL. So amid the ever-increasing numbers of Democrats who are asking President Joe Biden to drop out of the race and the new polls showing that Biden is losing support among American voters, the president has insisted that he is physically and mentally sound and up for the job of continuing to run the country. The attempted assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump seems to have given Trump a big boost in the polls. President Biden has said that he will not drop out of the race unless he's told he can't win, or if the doctors tell him to. Well, a new survey shows that 65% of the Democrats believe Biden should get out of the race. Among independents, 77% believe Biden should get out of the race. New polls show that every possible Democratic candidate performs better in a head-to-head matchup against Trump than Biden. Every Democrat candidate other than Biden does better against Trump than Biden. And the polls are now showing that Biden may have a difficult time beating Trump. And now Biden is diagnosed with COVID. Are these two of the factors that Joe Biden needs to encourage him to bow out of the race? There are some very credible reports now that President Biden is going to officially announce that he's dropping out of the race, possibly this weekend. It's being reported by Axios that top Biden aides, some of whom have been pushing for him to stay in the race, are now saying that the writing's on the wall and he should drop out. The report says that that Representative Nancy Pelosi privately met with Biden and told him if he stays in the race, he could cost the Democrats the White House and control of Congress. I wonder if that will resonate with the president. It seems clear that Biden is not up for the task of running this country, and gracefully dropping out and retiring from politics seems to be the best option for Biden and the country. The Trump campaign has built their strategy on Joe Biden being Trump's opponent in the race. If that changes, so will the strategy of the Trump campaign. Trump's campaign does not want Biden to drop out of the race. They have never said that they want Biden out, even though everybody else is saying it. They're bashing Biden, but they don't want him out of the race. The problem for the Trump campaign is that if a moderate Democrat who is younger replaces Joe Biden, that might have the ability to steal votes who are currently planning on voting for Trump only because of Joe Biden's mental capabilities, then that new Democrat in the race could attract votes away from Donald Trump, and that could be a problem for the Trump campaign. The Heritage Foundation has apparently been working to secure Joe Biden on the ballots in swing states, and that's a testament to the fact that they see Biden as the weakest candidate and they don't want somebody else to come in and do it. As time passes, the public will probably view the assassination attempt as such a horrible event, which it was, but soon the focus is going to be back on Trump and his policies. So if this decision is going to be made, it should be made sooner rather than later. So there seems to be credible information that Joe Biden may drop out of the race as early as this weekend. So, hey, you know what? Sit back, relax, enjoy the show, because it's not always going to be this exciting. All right, we've got to get to a break here. So if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to your calls when we come back after the news at 3 o'clock. We're going to be jammed between now and the top of the hour. I just want to be honest with you. But if you just relax, hang on, listen to the show on your phones, and we'll get back to your calls. We also have a lot of text to get to this afternoon. And then also coming up in the next hour, we'll talk a little bit about these scientists who are looking into the idea that being a super fan of Taylor Swift could be good for your health. On this day in 1964, the Rolling Stones made their debut on the U.S. charts. This song, Not Fade Away, was their first hit. The way they did this song, Not Fade Away, which is a cover of a Buddy Holly song, was kind of an R&B version of the Buddy Holly song, Not Fade Away. It peaked at number 48 during a 13-week run, but this was the first hit the Rolling Stones had on our charts. Happened on this day in 1964. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Oh boy, this is a sad day on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar. On this day in 1992, this was the number one country hit in America. It was number four on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Slaps!
Can you say mullet? The best thing Billy Ray Cyrus mullet. Did for us is give us Miley.
Mullet!
Anyway, achy mullet. Breaky heart. Stop saying mullet!
Mullet!
Yep, number one song, country chart, number four on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. All right, we got a lot to get to, and we're talking about Donald Trump delivering his acceptance speech tonight at the convention. I'm Scoot, and we're coming back with a lot more on this rainy Thursday afternoon on WWL. So amid the ever-increasing numbers of Democrats who are asking President Joe Biden to drop out of the race and the new polls showing that Biden is losing support among American voters, the president has insisted that he is physically and mentally sound and up for the job of continuing to run the country. The attempted assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump seems to have given Trump a big boost in the polls. President Biden has said that he will not drop out of the race unless he's told he can't win or if the doctors tell him to. Well, a new survey shows that 65% of the Democrats believe Biden should get out of the race. Among independents, 77% believe Biden should get out of the race. New polls show that every possible Democratic candidate performs better in a head-to-head matchup against Trump than Biden. Every Democrat candidate other than Biden does better against Trump than Biden. And the polls are now showing that Biden may have a difficult time beating Trump. And now Biden is diagnosed with COVID. Are these two of the factors that Joe Biden needs to encourage him to bow out of the race? There are some very credible reports now that President Biden is going to officially announce that he's dropping out of the race, possibly this weekend. It's being reported by Axios that Biden aides, top Biden aides, some of whom have been pushing for him to stay in the race, are now saying that the writing's on the wall and he should drop out. The report says that Representative Nancy Pelosi privately met with Biden and told him, if he stays in the race, he could cost the Democrats the White House and control of Congress. I wonder if that will resonate with the president. It seems clear that Biden is not up for the task of running this country, and gracefully dropping out and retiring from politics seems to be the best option for Biden and the country. The Trump campaign has built their strategy on Joe Biden being Trump's opponent in the race. If that changes, so will the strategy of the Trump campaign. Trump's campaign does not want Biden to drop out of the race. They have never said that they want Biden out, even though everybody else is saying it. They're bashing Biden, but they don't want him out of the race. The problem for the Trump campaign is that if a moderate Democrat who is younger replaces Joe Biden, that might have the ability to steal votes who are currently planning on voting for Trump only because of Joe Biden's mental capabilities, then that new Democrat in the race could attract votes away from Donald Trump, and that could be a problem for the Trump campaign. The Heritage Foundation has apparently been working to secure Joe Biden on the ballots in swing states, and that's a testament to the fact that they see Biden as the weakest candidate and they don't want somebody else to come in and do it. As time passes, the public will probably view the assassination attempt as such a horrible event, which it was, but soon the focus is going to be back on Trump and his policies. So if this decision is going to be made, it should be made sooner rather than later. So there seems to be credible information that Joe Biden may drop out of the race as early as this weekend. So, hey, you know what? Sit back, relax, enjoy the show, because it's not always going to be this exciting. All right, we've got to get to a break here. So if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to your calls when we come back after the news at 3 o'clock. We're going to be jammed between now and the top of the hour. I just want to be honest with you. But if you just relax, hang on, listen to the show on your phones, and we'll get back to your calls. We also have a lot of text to get to this afternoon. And then also coming up in the next hour, we'll talk a little bit about these scientists who are looking into the idea that being a super fan of Taylor Swift could be good for your health. On this day in 1964, the Rolling Stones made their debut on the U.S. charts. This song, Not Fade Away, was their first hit. The way they did this song, Not Fade Away, which is a cover of a Buddy Holly song, was kind of an R&B version of the Buddy Holly song, Not Fade Away. It peaked at number 48 during a 13-week run, but this was the first hit the Rolling Stones had on our charts. Happened on this day in 1964. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Oh boy, this is a sad day on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar. On this day in 1992, this was the number one country hit in America. It was number four on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Slaps!
Can you say mullet? The best thing Billy Ray Cyrus mullet. Did for us is give us Miley.
Mullet!
Anyway, achy mullet. Breaky heart. Stop saying mullet!
Mullet!
Yep, number one song, country chart, number four on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. All right, we got a lot to get to, and we're talking about Donald Trump delivering his acceptance speech tonight at the convention. I'm Scoot, and we're coming back with a lot more on this rainy Thursday afternoon on WWL. Oh boy, this is a sad day on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar. On this day in 1992, this was the number one country hit in America. It was number four on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Slaps!
Can you say mullet? The best thing Billy Ray Cyrus mullet. Did for us is give us Miley.
Mullet!
Anyway, achy mullet. Breaky heart.
Stop saying mullet! Mullet!
Yep, number one song, country chart, number four on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. All right, we got a lot to get to, and we're talking about Donald Trump delivering his acceptance speech tonight at the convention. I'm Scoot, and we're coming back with a lot more on this rainy Thursday afternoon on WWL.